Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jamila Thomas with How Stops Now Radio Show. First and foremost, Happy New Year. It's 2015. What are we going to do now? I'm so excited because we have a beautifully talented, powerful woman in her own right, Ms. Felicia Houston, on the show today. Are you there, Felicia?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you so much for joining me today. For those listeners out there, for those who have been listening for the past year, you know this show is all about inspiration, inspiring people to really run after their dreams, run after their visions, and really understanding why How Stops Now. How Stops Now is a lifestyle. It's a philosophy. It's recognizing that you've been called for something great, and therefore you move towards what it is you've been called to do. So we're going to jump right into the show. So Felicia, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, my name is Felicia Houston, and, I'll give you a short version.
I know.
Right, so I was like, well, let me get focused. Let me get focused. Okay, and I am a licensed clinical professional counselor. I work for the Department of Psychiatry for a local hospital here in the Chicagoland area. I enjoy educating people in regards to mental health. But what I'm really passionate about is I'm passionate about marriage. And because of that passion, shortly after I got married, I started an organization called Anointed Wives Ministry, which is a ministry for married and single women who desire to be married one day. And our goal is just to encourage women in the area of marriage. And I just absolutely love doing it. I love helping people to have successful marriages because I think the media and society tells us basically that marriage is obsolete and it's not possible to have a healthy marriage. So that's about me. I'm happily married, been married for eight years now. I have three children. I have a five-year-old, a seven-year-old who will be eight next week, and I have a bonus child. My bonus child came with my husband. So,
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule to really talk and inspire people through their business and dreams. So here's the first question for you. When you received the vision about Anointed Wives Ministry, what was the first thing that you did? And the reason why I posed that question first is because a lot of times people get these grand visions and they have no idea where to start. And a lot of us are like that, just don't know where to go, where to start. So for you, what was the first thing that you did?
Okay, the first thing I did was laugh because I was like, what? I laughed, and, then when God was like, that's not funny. Okay, let me get serious about this. And the next thing I did was go into prayer. I called on some ladies that I have been I have been on a prayer call with some ladies for some years, and I told them about it, and I was like, guys, I need you to really get in prayer with me because, God has a sense of humor. I don't know why he wants me to do something like this because – I have been hearing a lot of women complain about their marriages, and I was like, I'm sick of this. And God was like, do something about it. And I was like, do what? And that's when God gave me the vision. So the first thing I did was go in prayer with about three ladies, and we prayed and we fasted about it. And then God gave me the plan, and I got the plan, and then I just started executing.
Yeah, that's powerful. And I think a lot of times people get stuck in that what. You know, they say, oh, man, I got this vision. It's so grand. It's so large. And God will always, it seems, give you this vision in totality. You may not have all the parts, but you have this vision of what it seems. Would you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. And I think the first, to be honest, and, for me, I like to be real. So, when you first get the vision, you do think how. I didn't have a house stuff back then. So, I did think. I was like, God, this is Felicia Houston in South Holland. Did you mix me up with somebody else? Because, clearly you don't want me to do that. Because that's not me. I don't do that. I don't organize. Yeah. I don't like speaking. I don't like any of that. That's not me. And God was like, you. I know who you are. I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. You. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but I did think. I was like, how? What do I do? When do I start? And God was like, just start. Do what I told you to do. And I was like, okay.
That's good. So. Okay, so here's the next question. So, guys, we are jumping right into this powerful show about how stopping now with Miss Felicia Houston. And so the next question, Felicia, I have for you is a really, really distinct question, and that is, after you had your what, you answered the what, you prayed about it, and you got your direction, when did you get started? When did you get started? Yeah, I know. That's a tough one.
I would say it all happened, like, within, like, a three-month period. I would say, you know, God told me, you know, I laughed, you know, I was like, yeah, right, you know, God tripping. And then I was like, okay, yeah. He's not serious. Okay, let's pray about it. Then, you know, I prayed about it. Then he told me what to do. And then I played around with, you know, how I'm going to do it or whatever. And then I would say probably within a good 3 months, then I just started it. I just reached out to one of my girlfriends, and I was like, okay, God told me to do this. Let's start a prayer call for wives. And she was like, huh? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, and God said, do it at 5 a.m. And I was like, really, God? Like, you couldn't speak later? You know, 5 a.m.?
No.
And that's how the ministry started. It started off just as a prayer call with two people praying on the call consistently at 5 a.m.
Yeah. And so when you started that, what did you feel like was the strongest pull that you got from doing it or deciding not to do it? Did you feel like, you know what, if I don't do this, I'm going to miss something? You know, because I think a lot of times when we have that win question, we believe that if we don't get started right away or if we do get started right away, we may miss something. Did you feel like you missed anything in that process?
No, I didn't feel like I missed anything. I felt like if I didn't do it, then God was going to use somebody else. That's how I felt. I mean, because I'm like, if God says this needs to be done, you know, and he's chosen me. Now, if I choose not to accept it, then he's just going to pick somebody else because that's the type of, that's God. And so I was like, I always tell people, this was one time when I was obedient. I was like, okay, I'll be obedient. You know, other times I haven't been. But I was like, I think I should be obedient with this because this sounds like it's serious.
When you're dealing with marriages. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Exactly, and I think the bigger picture of how I looked at it is that all I kept seeing was miserable wives, and I was like, really, like, the single people cannot keep seeing miserable wives because then single people will not desire to get married and to reproduce and to have children, because I'm like, if miserable women get married, then they're going to have miserable marriages, then they're going to have miserable kids. So I was like, this is bigger than me. It's not about me. Yeah. This is bigger than me. So I was like, I have to do it because this is what God said to do, and it's going to affect lives. It can change lives. It can transform lives by transforming marriage.
All right. We are into this thing already. Okay, for those listeners out there, we are talking to this Felicia Houston. We're talking about how stopping now and what that means. And for so many people, the first question that comes to mind when you receive your vision in its totality is, how am I going to do that? And so we're walking through the strategic path of answering your how question in the affirmative. What, where, when, and whom? Okay, so this next question is fundamental to this process. Where did you go to get started? And I'm going to give you just a little story. I always like to tell the story on this show. I interviewed a poet probably about almost 6 months ago now, maybe a little bit more than that. And when I posed that question to him, the where, he said internally. Now, that was very powerful. Right, I know. That was very powerful to me because many times we think it's external, and a lot of times it is, but initially it may be internal, you know, and so I don't sort of share that story to prompt you to say it one way or the other. It's one of those things where I thought that was a pretty powerful, you know, message that a lot of times that's where we have to get started in order to even take the next step. And then after that, then you can find your other wares, like is it a computer, is it a library, what have you. So for you, your where question, where did you go to get started?
I would say that I went internally when I went into prayer, and then I continued to go to prayer, you know, as far as when I went to the steps. Before I went externally, I went internally and asked God, okay, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do I already know? Where are wives at? You know, and so for me, it made sense to me because I was a part of the married couples ministry at my church to talk to the head of my married couples ministry, who was a wife, you know. So I talked to her, I shared with her what I was doing, and she was in support of it. And then I went to social media because I was like, everybody else is talking about foolishness.
Yeah.
I was like, they are on here talking about, you know, I'm not saying that about anybody's animals or anything. I'm not bashing animals or anything, but I'm saying people would just put silliest things on Facebook, or they cussing, or they putting inappropriate videos and things of that sort. So I was like, this is a medium, and I'm going to use it. And I just started using social media. So I created me a little Facebook fan page. I still remember when I was the first like on the page. And then I just started telling everybody, I'm like, look, I started this ministry. This is what God gave me. So I like my page, you know, and this is what Embroidered Wives Ministry is, and this is what we will do. And it just started from there. What, like I said, one like, and I think as of today, I think we probably had like 25,000 likes at this point. And we connect with people all over. And so, and God has just planted some amazing people around the world who have a mind for marriage. And I stay connected to those people. Those people encourage me. I'm in masterminds with people all over who are doing this type of ministry, and God has just continued to open doors. But he wouldn't probably open these doors if I hadn't stepped through the first, if I hadn't said yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think a lot of times that is the beginning of the process, the yes, you know.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of times we don't say yes because we are stuck in the house. You know, we're asking how we're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, so no for right now. Get back at me later so I can figure it out how, and then I'll say yes. And I think a lot of times the faith walk is what's going to drive answering that how question. Wow, that's really good. I love how you talked about the importance of saying yes, because people, I don't want to say people, but this institution itself is depending upon your ministry because of what you've been called to do. Now, knowing that, what for you has been the greatest gift and the greatest challenge? I'm going to take a different direction here because I think it's important. And so the greatest gift, what has been the greatest gift from this ministry and the greatest challenge?
I would say that the greatest gift has just been when a wife sends me a message, you know, and says, because of this ministry, I can still remember one prayer call we were on. And when I woke up that morning, early that morning, I had a really bad headache. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do the call this morning. But God was like, no, do the call. And I was like, but I got migraine. He was like, do the call. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I did the call. And at the end of the call, I always ask for words of encouragement and praise reports. And this one, everybody was giving theirs. And this one lady said, I wasn't going to say anything, but she's like, I feel like I need to say something. And so we're like, okay, what you got to say? And she was like, this morning when I woke up, I was going to the courthouse to file for a divorce. She's like, but since I got on this call this morning, I'm not going to file. I am going to try to work things out with my husband. You know, I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to ask God, what does he want me to do? And I was like, look at God. I was like, now, I was just talking about a headache. And this lady told me she's about to file for divorce. And so when I hear stories like that, it's the greatest gift, because it's like I'm doing what God has called me to do, and it's not about me. So even when I don't feel like doing it, I have to do it. And so, but the flip side of that is because it affects so many different people, I feel like a lot of times I'm pulled in a whole bunch of different directions. And so sometimes that can be a curse, because I think sometimes I overextend myself. And so, like, for this year, my goal is to do less, to focus more on quality and not on quantity. Because when you get this busy doing a whole bunch of things, God is not getting the glory out of that, because you don't know where you're supposed to be. You can't remember stuff, you know, stuff like that. So it's not bringing glory to God. And so I think that has been the curse, you know, that it has been expanding, and a lot of people know about Anointed Wives Ministry, but in knowing about it, I'm getting more and more requests, and I'm like, I'm only one person. And I still work a full-time job, and I'm still a wife, and I'm still a mother, you know, so, that's what I was, it's been a blessing, but it's also been a curse, but, you know, God has given me wisdom in how to keep it a blessing and for it not to be a curse.
I got it. Okay, that's really good. That's really powerful. I mean, because you do have, I don't want to take a direction, different direction again, just a calling on your life. I mean, you really, really, really do. And God knows that, and people know that, and people see it. So I'm just taking a minute of a praise break for you, just to let you know that what you're doing is definitely changing lives. And I will go even so far to say it's changing and empowering and moving generations. It's moving generations. And so the power that God has given you to utilize you, just know that generations have been blessed because of the work that you're doing. And I normally don't do that. That just came from God, because I normally kind of keep in the line of the show. But I just wanted to let you know that
thanks.
You keep going. You keep
thanks.
Going. Yes, because generations, and think about that word. Generations have been blessed because you've been obedient to what you've been called to do.
Okay, we're going to take a different direction. Let me come back.
So who? So the question now is who? Who? And so a lot of times people are discouraged by this question, because many times you'll tell a person your vision and your dream and you don't get the amount of support that you think you deserve or that you would have gotten from a person that you've known for years or whatever the case may be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know, right? And, yes. And so a lot of times people are discouraged by that initial no. And I'm so all about decoding and sort of changing words around. And so for me, when I hear the word no, I think on. N-O equals open.
Yes.
In other words, okay, you tell me no. Okay, now it's really on. Now I have to really fight. And I have to really push. And so just because, and I want to encourage those listeners out there, just because you get a no does not mean that you're supposed to stop. You keep going, because I truly believe this without a shadow of a doubt, that there's somebody out there with your name tapped on their resources. And so if you get a no from somebody, that just means that their resources are for somebody else. So for you, Ms. Houston, who was the first? You don't have to give us names if you don't want to, but who did you call to help you? You know, who did you reach out to when you got this vision to this wonderful work? Who did you reach out to?
I would say, like the like I said before, the people, some of the ladies that were on the prayer. I have been on this prayer call. I have been faithfully on this prayer call for some years. And under the leadership of another young lady. And then I just reached out to some of the ladies that were on that call who were married. And those ladies, they were like, what? God told you to do it. Let's do it. You know, and they were like the people who were first people to join the call. They helped me with leading the call. You know, when we had our first prayer breakfast, those were the ladies who were there, you know, helping me. You know, at that first prayer breakfast, I still see the picture. I'm like, they were the ones there, like, what we need to do. The night before we were there setting up, that Saturday morning, they were there taking registrations, collecting money, you know, getting the food together. So I just went to the that I had been praying with for years. I'm like, that's all I knew. But those ladies are no longer, you know, with me. They've gone in different directions, and they're doing their own things and things of that sort. But it is, now what I will say, because we're being honest and we're being real, it is discouraging sometimes when those who are closest to you don't support what you do. And it's interesting that you said this, because I just had this conversation with my mother yesterday, and I was just talking about some people that we are really close to, and I was like, they've never attended anything that I've had, Mom. That's just strange to me. My mother was like,
it is.
And I said, but you know what? It doesn't really bother me, because the people who, my belief is that whoever is supposed to be there will be there.
Absolutely.
Whoever is supposed to support you will support you. And I say, even though those people who are closest to me may not support what I do, people that I don't even know in other countries, in other states,
right.
support me. So it doesn't matter, because we serve a global God. So I'm like, it's not about, you know, people in South Holland, people in Chicago. God has a global vision for this. So I'm like, I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. And until nobody shows up, then I'm going to keep doing it.
Yes.
So.
Okay, right. You know what? If nobody shows up and you're still there, it was for a reason. So be in prayer
right.
about that. You know what I mean? So I agree with you. I agree with you. And people are so, you know what? And this is the thing. We are a numbers, success-driven society and world. I mean, we believe that if you don't get 10 likes or 11 likes or 2 likes or 1,000 likes or 25 likes or whatever it is, that your message is not getting across. And that's just not the case. You know, it's all about, I believe, it's all about quality versus quantity. And so I think sometimes we can be blinded by what society deems as success. And so I think we all have to, you know, in a sense, recognize that whatever God has called you to do, if one person shows up, You have done your job. You have done what you've been called to do. You have fulfilled the purpose in which you have been called to serve. And so I'm glad you mentioned that you know, people are you know, people won't, you know, there are people that just don't want support for whatever reason, you know, and that's okay.
Right.
And I do believe that whoever shows up was meant to be, whether it's one or a thousand. And the blessing behind that is that one person that shows up could change the world, though, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So anyway, okay. So let's move into the second part of this show. And for those listeners out there, this is, I don't know about you, but I am motivated. This is a powerful show in its own right. And Felicia, thank you so much at this point just for being so candid and open and sharing your story. So this first question, it's a hard question for you, Felicia, so just brace yourself. Okay, so the first question is, what would you tell your younger self? What would you tell your younger self?
I think what I would say to my younger self, because it's interesting, because I posted this question one day, I have pondered this question before. I think something that I would say to my younger self is to do it and to do it scared. I would say that when I was younger, I was afraid to do stuff. Like, I remember being in class, afraid to raise my hand because I'm like, okay, well, what if I say something stupid? You know, afraid to speak in front of people. I would have never done a radio interview, never in a million years. I would never have spoke in front of people, you know, none of that. And I'm like, you know, I think I missed out on some stuff because I didn't. But I know God has everything, you know, organized the way he wants it to organize. But that's what I would say to my younger self, to do it and to do it scary. Even though you may be scared, to just do it. You know, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, I'm like, you ain't going to ask. So.
Right.
Do it.
That is so true.
Like,
never seen
anybody up there. I was like, you never seen anybody up there. Like, I hear a lot of people saying that they're afraid to speak in front of people. But I'm like, you've never seen anybody go up there to speak in front of people and they died or they bust into pieces. Nothing like that has ever happened. So it's not that bad. It's like, just go up there, say what you need to say, and go sit down. So.
Yes. Okay, that's true. Yeah, I agree. That's a good advice. You're not going to die, basically.
Right. I'm like, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, get your stuff together. Now, I ain't saying go up there and don't be prepared now. Go get your stuff together first. And then go up there and say whatever you need to say or do whatever you need to do. Like, even in being, like, for young people when they're in class, a lot of times they don't want to participate. But your grade, there's a portion of your grade that is classroom participation. So you need to raise your hand and you need to say something sometimes.
Right.
Even
exactly.
If you are scared.
Yeah. I agree with that. You know, and you know, this level of fear I you know, that we all sort of get, I think that's to your point, it pushes you. It should push you, I should say, to the next point. Okay. So the second question I have for you is equally tough. It is, what would you tell your future self? So the woman who has become, you know, what you define as successful, the woman with a house on the hill, you may already have a house on the hill, but let's just say that's, you know, what you want in the future. The woman that you define as success, as God would have you to be successful, what would you tell her?
I think I would tell her, don't forget where you came from. You know, don't forget where you started at. Because I think it's easy for people, once you have reached that so-called, you know, successful point, to forget where you came from and to not share with other people. So, like, if somebody comes and says, you know, hey, I have a, you know, God has given me a vision, how do I get started? You know, to not act all weird and strange and not want to give them, you know, your experience or not share my experience with them, that I would I would say just don't forget where you came from and be willing to share with somebody younger than you, because I always feel like everybody should be, you should be being mentored by somebody, but you should also be mentoring somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that, too. I totally agree with that. All right, so this last question is pretty straightforward in that, you know, we all need wisdom, you know, and encouragement and inspiration. And so what words of wisdom would you give to that person who, you know, is currently in their how question, like, God, how am I going to do this? And also to the person who may be in their how and moving towards it, but just need some more inspiration. So what words of inspiration would you give?
I would say to really stay in prayer, because I'm a person of faith. So I would say really stay in prayer, and to surround yourself with some like-minded women. And I would say for me, the women in my circle, you know, like Jamila, I have tons of ladies that are in my circle that I can go to and say, hey, guys, I got the situation. You know, what this is it. I need y'all to lift me up in prayer. Or I have a situation and I don't know how to go about doing this. And then they will just be fired back like, here, what about this? What about this? What about this? So really look at who is in your circle. And I'm not trying to negate anything, but if you're starting something, you can't have a whole circle of people who started stuff too. That's just my thought, you know. But that's just my thought. You need some people in your circle who have already started, who have surpassed that, and you need some people in your circle who are where you want to be, because then they can tell you how they got there. So, you know, Stevie Wonder can't help Ray Charles. So I'm just saying, you know, just be mindful of who you have in your circle, because it affects you how you get to where God is calling you. And then really stay in prayer, though, about who are those people that you would confide in, because every good thing is not a God thing. You know, everybody is not there to help you. Some people just want to get your ideas and sell them, and that's just real, you know. So you really need to be prayerful about that.
That's good. That's good. All right, Ms. Felicia, thank you so much. This has been really good, really good inspiration. Tell us about things that you have coming up that we should be a part of. How can the listeners follow you, you know, find you? What's going on with you in the next couple of weeks or months or however much time you have to give us?
Okay. Well, first of all, Jamila, I want to say thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it. Anytime when someone gives me an opportunity to come on their platform, I appreciate you and love you so much. Some things that we have coming up, well, I think the biggest thing is that every year we do an annual prayer breakfast, and we've been doing it for 6 years. This is our seventh year this year, and to God be the glory. And what we're doing this year, because it's 7 years, yes, so we are doing a two-day thing, so we're doing an overnight thing. It's called our AWM, because it's Anointed Wives Ministry. It's our AWM Scandal Weekend. We'll be out in Schaumburg, Illinois. We'll be there Friday night and Saturday. We have an amazing time. Jamila was one of our speakers last year, so she can attest to how God moves in that place. He moves, and every year people kept saying, we need more time. So this year you'll have more time. And you can find out about any of our stuff. We have a website. It's anointedwivesministry.com. We're also on Facebook, Anointed Wives Ministry. We're on Twitter, Anointed Wives. We're on Instagram, Pinterest, all of it as Anointed Wives. So connect with us, you know, and participate in the conversation. And if you're in the Chicagoland area, come out for the weekend. We will have fun. But God will get the glory. We will figure out how to handle the situations in our lives, scandals in our lives, because we all have secrets, but many other churches are not talking about these secrets. And then once the secrets are out, how do we handle it? So
that's good. Thank you so much again, Felicia, just for sharing your wisdom and your inspiration and your power. And again, thank you for all the wonderful work that you are doing, you know, not only in the States, but worldwide. And so for those listeners out there, I know you've been encouraged. I know you've gotten some good nuggets. And so as I always sort of leave the show, I tell you, and I believe this, that ordinary people can do extraordinary things. And the only difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that there's a little extra on top, and the extra equals faith. So continue to keep the faith and always remember that how stops now, and when you unscramble the word how, you get who. He who is able to do more than you can think or imagine, the one that's on the inside of you. So happy New Year, everybody, and remember, how stops now.